Stay tuned after the show for a message from Chevron.
Zach and Tyler, obviously without sort of getting into your sources, can you kind of walk listeners through the process of confirming these appointments once they're made?
Oh, it's a lot of frantic texting and calling and...
What do you want?
I'm in the shower. I'll call you later.
I really am going to feel indebted to my sources for interrupting their dinners and whatever they're doing.
Can I call you after dinner?
It's hectic, you know? You feel like you're bothering so many people, and you're asking the same basic questions and following up on every rumor you hear, but you have to do that. That's the job.
Hey, I'll call you later. Just wait.
You know, my process is to try to talk to people who I don't think talk to each other, who operate different corners of this universe, and try to see, you know, through a patchwork who has, you know, overlapping intel. And that then starts to be something that I think has momentum because it's getting to these different parts of my universe.
Yeah, so it's definitely a challenging process, but what we've been able to do is kind of triangulate the sources that our policy reporters have with some of the political folks that I've met. We often hear, you know, these names are floating in the ether for quite some time.
Psst, psst, psst.
John Kerry.
Jennifer Granholm.
Gina McCarthy.
Jennifer Granholm.
And then as it gets closer to making a decision, you know, friends, allies,
yep, it's confirmed.
Lobbyists, people in the professional network.
No, it's not Chris Coons.
Yep.
For sure it's Granholm.
And, you know, trying to tap as many of those people as we can and being really on top of the moving pieces about how the cabinet is built.
I'm Anthony Adragna, and this is Politico Energy. On Tuesday, Politico Energy reporter Zach Coleman and White House reporter Tyler Pager reported that President-elect Joe Biden has chosen Jennifer Granholm for the Energy Department. On the same day, Tyler and my colleague Sam Mintz reported that the transition team had chosen Pete Buttigieg, a former Biden rival in the Democratic primary, to lead the Department of Transportation. And also on Tuesday, Tyler and Alex Guillen reported that former EPA Chief Gina McCarthy had been chosen for the top position on domestic climate change at the White House. Today I talk with all of them about the incoming president's climate and energy team. It's Thursday, December 17th.
Today, I'm proud to nominate its newest member. For Secretary of Transportation, I nominate Mayor Pete Buttigieg.
He's, other than Kamala Harris, the only former Democratic primary rival, as we put it, to get a cabinet spot to this point. And this is not someone that is going to be a secondary player in the administration. He will play a core role in trying to get, you know, an infrastructure package through Congress and then continue as part of this large-scale Build Back Better agenda that the president-elect has outlined.
He's one of the smartest people you'll ever meet and one of the most humble. A mayor from the heartland, a management expert, a policy wonk with a big heart.
Pete sort of came out of nowhere. I mean, we've been hearing for a long time, basically since he dropped out of the presidential race, that he was interested in working in the cabinet, was probably going to be someone that Biden would want to put in the cabinet. But no one really thought about him for transportation.
My hometown, South Bend, Indiana, was built by the power of American transportation. From trade along the river, whose bend gives our city its name, to the rail lines that connected us to the rest of the country back when we were considered the West.
And the interesting thing for me talking to people over the last couple of days about this, who are sort of deeply into transportation policy, is that they see him as someone who's very prepared for the job, despite the sort of thin resume on paper. They see him as someone who is an information sponge, has a really sharp analytical mind, who has done a ton of transportation and infrastructure work already as a mayor, even though the city of South Bend doesn't have that big of a transportation blueprint. They see him as someone who could really carry forward Biden's mission and who's expected to be front and center in what Biden's doing on infrastructure, which is going to be an early big priority.
Travel, in my mind, is synonymous with growth, with adventure, even love.
And he's someone who proposed to his partner in an airport, so that's always a benefit, too.
In an airport terminal. Don't let anybody tell you that O'Hare isn't romantic.
Obviously, for, you know, our purposes in the climate and energy space, that infrastructure package is considered, you know, a likely attractive place to add clean energy provisions and sustainability provisions. What do we know about Mayor Pete in that realm, and what might he bring to the role of DOT in that space?
I think he's very much aligned with Biden. I think climate, transportation, and infrastructure are all very closely linked for both of them. I think he shares Biden's goals on clean energy, on electric vehicles. We talk about rulemakings like emissions rule, standards freeze, et cetera, stuff like that. I think Buttigieg will be, you know, one of the energy and climate cabinet, right up with Granholm and McCarthy and all the others that we're talking about.
Zach, shifting over to the former governor, Granholm, again, someone else who was not initially on a lot of the list for DOE, although she has been mentioned more frequently leading up to this selection. What do we know about her, and what is she going to bring to the role of DOE?
Yeah, she's a former two-term Michigan governor. I actually had the pleasure of covering a year of her gubernatorial run in Michigan when I was a college newspaper reporter at Michigan State University. But she's devoted a lot of her time since leaving Michigan to clean energy transition. She works at the American Jobs Project, which is about renewable energy jobs. You know, and even as Michigan's governor, she was, you know, a big supporter of the transition to clean energy, you know, was a big supporter of the auto bailout that, you know, set a pathway to electrification and more fuel efficient cars. She ended up getting a whole bunch of money from the Obama stimulus that ended up building the LG Chem facility in Holland, Michigan, which is now churning out batteries for the Chevy Volt.
Is she in the mold of what previous DOE secretaries have looked like under Democratic administrations, or is she in some ways, you know, a divergence from past history?
She's definitely a divergence. You know, most people don't really realize this, but Department of Energy is kind of a misnomer. It's mostly a nuclear energy agency. Traditionally, a energy secretary has been a scientist, someone who understands physics. So she will probably need to be paired with a very strong deputy secretary, or, you know, someone who really understands these nuclear proliferation and waste issues. But, you know, she, I think, by being this clean energy proponent, really backs up what Biden was saying on the campaign trail, that his climate plan is also a jobs plan. It's also a research plan, and we'll see her put that into action.
And then Alex, Gina McCarthy, a familiar name to those of us who've been covered the Obama administration in depth, but maybe not for everybody. What should people know about her now that she's been picked to lead this White House domestic climate shop and will be paired with John Kerry, who's leading international climate efforts?
Well, the first thing to know is it's no longer the climate czar position. It's the climate czar position.
Oh, no.
Gina McCarthy, for those who don't know, she was she ran the air office in EPA during Obama's first term, and then got elevated to run all of EPA in the second term. She played a critical role in pretty much every climate-related thing that EPA did under Obama. But she also brings a background for much of her career before the Obama administration. She worked in state-level agencies in Connecticut and Massachusetts. So she has a lot of state-level experience.
They wanted a counterpart for John Kerry, and they wanted someone that is a very prominent environmentalist in a very big role in this administration, where climate change and the environment is going to be a very significant issue. So I think she makes sense for the type of person that they were looking for in that role.
Yesterday, we learned of yet another pick from the transition team to Biden's cabinet. Longtime environmental lawyer Brenda Mallory will lead the White House Council on Environmental Quality, commonly referred to as CEQ. The office is in charge of gauging the impact of federal government policies, permits, and infrastructure projects on the environment. Mallory already worked at CEQ under the Obama administration and is expected to bring perspective on environmental justice to the White House. Tomorrow we'll dive into the details, so stay tuned. Subscribe to our newsletter at politico.com/morningenergy. If you like our show, then like it. Give us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Thanks, and we'll be back again tomorrow.
It's only human to want to build a better future for all. Chevron is working together with women and minority-owned businesses, spending $4 billion since 2014, because valuable ideas only come when you value everyone. Learn more at chevron.com.